Think we can start. So good afternoon and welcome to all of you. Those of you that are present here in the room and those of you that are connected via web today. So we'll have the presentation, as you know, of our strategic plan, UniCredit 2015. I know that you are particularly eager to get information from us. I will try to satisfy your curiosity in the best way possible. We'll take more or less 1 hour of your time to go through the presentation, and then we will have a Q&A session. First part will be directly with all of you, and then I've been told we'll have also half an hour, 20 minutes for the colleagues that are connected via web. But let's go directly to the plan. And before going inside numbers, just a few words I think is indispensable about our vision, the way we see ourselves from now on. So UniCredit is already, you know, a European bank, quite large pan-European bank with a business model typical of a universal bank. Is this a model still valid? Is this a model that needs to have some review? This was the question that we put to ourselves in the last months. And analyzing the existing business model with the challenges that we have nowadays in the market with this macroeconomic scenario very difficult and the regulation quite tight, we came to the conclusion that the existing model needs to have a review, needs in particular to have much more focus from our side. And for this reason, we have decided to move to a different service model, so to the concept of a pure commercial bank rather than being an old style, in some way, universal bank. In other words, I don't believe that a bank today can do everything. I think that you must choose your core business, and for us, the core business is and will be commercial banking. And what we want to be is to be a rock-solid, I'm stressing this point, a rock-solid European commercial bank. To be a commercial bank means focus exclusively our resources and capital on the franchise of our customers, nothing else. So what is not core, what is not inside this concept has to be abandoned, has to be left out, and we will touch this point later on. So in this logic of a commercial bank, we will redesign our network, especially in Italy. We will further deleverage and de-risk our investment banking activity, again with the intention not to downscale the activity but to refocus also investment banking on serving our franchise. So the investment banking completely supportive to our corporate business. We continue obviously to invest even though in a different way, more selective way, in Central Eastern Europe, where we have our area of growth inside the group, and clearly we will continue to exploit and to increase our presence in Austria and Germany, AAA countries, particularly important, especially in this period of time, for funding reasons. So a commercial bank, strong, with a strong balance sheet, with a strong capital. You got already the news on the decision this afternoon to increase capital. We will touch this point later on. Capital and liquidity position will be the focus of the plan, with a very important and improving operational efficiency. One of the challenge for us is to reduce the complexity of the group and to become much more effective, lean, and less expensive, as well is one of the point for us to address. And the bank, thanks to also a quite conservative risk profile, able to guarantee stable and sustainable return for investors. So this is what is our vision. What I wanna say is that is, in my opinion, a quite ambitious project. We want to be, like, a top-class European bank. We want to be among the best in what we will do in commercial banking. It is not a simple business. It's quite also sophisticated, because we go from mass market to large corporation. But in this business, in commercial banking, our ambition is to be among the top in Europe. So in terms of quality of service, in terms of capability to address the needs of our customers. And I strongly believe that with discipline and capability to execute the plan as we have, we will reach this target. Let's have a look now to the objectives of the plan. Give you a few seconds to go through the slides. First is the capital again. The Basel III Common Equity Tier 1, so now we are already in the Basel III environment, will be over 9% already in 2012, and will reach, it will be above 10% at the end of the plan in 2015. Again, Basel III, not Basel II. You will see that if we talk in terms of Basel II, after the increase of capital just approved, we are at the level of 10.35%. So here is Basel III environment. And again, we will reach this target with the execution of the 7.5 billion rights issue just approved this afternoon by our board. ROTE will be about 12%. We will have a strong focus on risk-weighted asset management, with 48 billion of portfolio on runoff. This is a performing portfolio, so it's not bad loans. It's a non-core performing portfolio. Here we start to touch the point that what is not inside the concept of commercial banking will be put on runoff mode. So performing portfolio, not core. Again, at the end of the plan, we will be fully in compliance with Basel III liquidity risk indicators. And again, this is another important target, because in my opinion, it's more complex to address the liquidity requirement of Basel III rather than the capital requirement. The net, the balance sheet will be very well matched. Our net interbank position will turn to be positive, so the dependence on wholesale funding will be very limited. Cost of risk down 48 basis points to 75 basis points, and 10% reduction of our cost base, with a cost income that will be overall about 50%. So these are the key objectives, the key targets of our plan. Let's remind, before going inside, what is, again, UniCredit today. This is very important, in particular in this period of time, with Italy definitely under, let's say, stress. You know that we have a big issue of sovereign risk perception for Italy. We have to remind that UniCredit is an Italian bank, so it's based in Italy. We are today in Milano, but our operation are European operation. This is very important for us. It has practical positive effect on us. So we have a strong presence in Western Europe. We are leader in Italy, yes, but we are also leaders in Austria, where we are the bank number one. We are leader in Germany, where we are the bank number three in total assets, but second in terms of corporate business. Plus, we have Central Eastern Europe, where we still have, and will continue to have, a leading position. We are the bank number one. So, all in all, say, our mix in terms of business is really remarkable. We have 37% of our risk-weighted asset in Italy. The rest is equally divided between Austria and Germany and Central Eastern Europe. Same is for the deposit side. So bank, European, serving 20 million families and almost 2 million of companies. But let's keep in mind that we are a European bank, so also in evaluating our risk, this is very important. Going to the plan, we'll try to touch what we can call discontinuities that you can see in the plan versus what has been done so far in the group. And we have identified four main pillars. First one is balance sheet structure. Inside we will touch about capital. We talk about capital, funding and liquidity, and risk management. In this new environment, economic and regulatory, having a strong balance sheet is important, very important. Second pillar, simplification and cost management. Keep in mind the simplification, because for me simplification comes first, is the only way to guarantee sustainability in cost management. Business, obviously we have many business in our group. We have not only CIB and Central Eastern Europe, we have family and SMEs, that is a business that is growing very well. We have private banking that is very important in order to get assets. But today we will talk mostly about corporate investment banking and Central Eastern Europe, because these are the business where we see major discontinuities versus the past. And finally, Italy. Italy turnaround. Italy is a key market for us, will continue to be a key market, and will recover significantly profitability within the life of this plan. Two words about the macroeconomic scenario. I think that before coming in front of you, we have changed the macroeconomic scenario, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times, because it keeps changing and it is not easy to fix it. We try to be very conservative. As you see, we have put together 2011-2012 is the gray bar, and then 13-15. So substantially we assume a growth in Western Europe of 1.3% average between 11-12, that will go up in the second part of the plan to 1.6. We are assuming higher growth in Central Eastern Europe, 3.7-4.1%. Zero growth in Italy, actually for next year a decline of the GDP, and interest rate substantially in line with the last decision of Mr. Draghi from ECB. So I think it's a quite realistic plan. I don't think that some macroeconomic scenario, I don't think that some volatility in these numbers can really affect our plan. We have done some internal, let's say, checkings. We can absorb some volatility, more or less, ups and down. I don't think, again, that having Italy growing 0.5% or declining 0.5% makes a big difference. So I think that the plan is very realistic. Talking about Italy, I know that, again, all the eyes are on Italy in these days. My view about Italy is very simple. It's a country that has, for sure, some problem, so we cannot underestimate the total debt of the countries versus GDP is under 20%. At the same time, I don't think that the very high or negative perception of the risk of Italy today is reflecting the fundamentals of Italy. It's more a matter of perception and maybe political, let me say, credibility. We will see with the new political situation that is coming, I'm sure this perception will improve. On the other side, Italy is a rich country. It's a rich country with the private sector very strong. It's the second, third largest in Europe with wealth for family. Family wealth extremely high, 10 trillion euros, five times higher than the debt. So it's a country that, in my opinion, has all the resources to come out from this difficult situation successfully. It is only up to us. We don't need, I think, external support. So, excluding, let's say, catastrophic scenario that are not included in this plan, I think that the macro is more than realistic. Let's go now to the numbers, that I'm sure is what for you is important. So, net profit. You have indicated that 2013 and 2015, 3.8 billion up to 6.5 billion at the end of the plan. ROTE is respectively 8%, 12%. Common equity, Tier 1, 9.4, and over 10% at the end of the plan. Cost of risk going progressively down from under 23 to 75, and an implied payout that will be 44% in 2013, almost 40% in 2015. I think that this is an acceptable, attractive payout. We have compared these numbers to other peers. I think we have a position that is slightly better. Anyway, these are the key targets of the plan that I think you have to keep in mind, and we will discuss, I'm sure, later on. Let's move now to the first point, the balance sheet structure. And let's remind 1 second what has been the most recent history of this group. The last previous 10, 15 years, the group has been able to move rapidly from being a small, at the end, Italian bank, domestic bank, to become one of the real champions in Europe. This has been done through several acquisitions, the most important one, Capitalia for Italy, then the merger with HVB. And this wave of acquisition, that from my point of view, has been great, because I don't think you can find in Europe a group that has been so successful in changing or in taking this opportunity that has been unique, and I think will not come back soon. So to move from being a regional bank to a pan-European bank, this process has contributed to build up, as you know, pretty high level of goodwill. We have decided today in our board, approving the result of the third quarter, to cut significantly, regulating the level of the goodwill and the value of our balance sheet to the present value. So 65% of this adjustment comes from new macroeconomic condition, 35% more or less from new regulation. But the real point is that we have decided to decrease goodwill by 8.6 billion, again reflecting the reality of today in our balance sheet. In addition, we have reduced by 700 million euros the value of our trademarks, talking about Banco Sicilia, Banco di Roma, HVB, Bank Austria, etc., and for 0.5 billion the value of our most important participation, strategic participation. The most important one is Mediobanca, that has been reduced, adjusted by 440 million euros, if I remember correctly. So we have a balance sheet today strong, balance sheet that will not create any surprise for the future, with the value, reflecting the value of the participation, the value of the goodwill, and most important, with no impact on capital or liquidity. So all of this is an accounting adjustment, but the impact on capital, you know better than me, but better to be clear, the impact on capital is zero, the impact on liquidity is zero. And this, once done, is not enough. As I said, we have new rules also in terms of capital and in terms of liquidity, and for this reason we come to the second important decision of today, the decision to go for 7.5 billion right issue, approved unanimously by our board today. Condition, pricing, etc. will be defined before the launch of the transaction. It will be at market condition, clearly. It's fully underwritten, so we have quite a strong consortium of international banks that have underwritten the transaction. The transaction will be completed, unfortunately, in a couple of months. The Italian regulation here is a bit of a nightmare, it's very long. So today we had the approval of the board. 15 of December, we must go to the general meeting, 15 of December, and then we will have at the beginning of January a board fixing the conditions, and hopefully, let's say more or less between mid of January to mid of February, the right issue will be in the market. So quite a long process, but we cannot avoid because this is the Italian regulation. Anyway, 7.5 billion fully underwritten right issue. With this, definitely our capital position improve significantly. Yeah, I'm not asking you to go in this moment through these slides, and please don't ask me to go so much in details in this slide. What is important to remember is that after the results of the quarter, we end up in September with a level of 874. And thanks to, again, the increase of capital, that for Basel III at the top of the slide is impacting positively for 142 basis points. Thanks to that, considering Basel III fully phased in, so anticipated 2019 to today, we end up already 2012 above 9% and 2015 above 10%. Again, if we stay with Basel II, we'll be 10.35% immediately done the right issue. So there's a big difference between the two numbers. And we put also the EBA request on the bottom of the slide. EBA request was to be 9% by June 2012. With this transaction, with this right issue, we got 9.3%. So we can forget the EBA point is over thanks to the decision to increase capital. So again, 9%, above 9% 2012, above 10% 2015, fully phased in Basel III. This is the result of the right issue. And clearly, asking money without doing something else is not good. So in one, with the right issue, we have decided to go for different action in terms of capital efficiency. The main one is this one. 11% of our assets are defined non-core assets, so 48 billion, and this asset has been put on runoff. What does it mean? It means that this asset will be amortized during their natural life. 35 billion within the end of the plan, 13 billion over 2015. In this case, we decided to take a very conservative approach, so considering only what will be amortized. it goes without saying that if the market will be favorable, we could anticipate the runoff. 13 billion is equivalent to 20 basis points of capital, so if opportunity comes, we can even decide to anticipate the amortization, but for the purpose of this plan, we put only the 35 million that will expire within the life of the plan itself, so by 2015. Of these 48 billion, 43 are inside corporate investment banking. Mr. Mustier is very happy about that, I see this. 20 billion in markets and 21 billion FF&A and GTB. The rest is mostly leasing. And again, these are business, no more core, but performing. For example, for leasing, we are talking mostly about a real estate business that has been since ever loss-making business. And finally, we have decided to get out from this business of generating only EVA negative. Same approach is for TIC. For example, we will leave, aircraft or shipping, because these are not business really important for our customer base. So if I have a customer from Hamburg coming asking to finance a boat, we can consider to do it because he's a customer. But doing shipping with an Indonesian company that comes to us through Deutsche Bank is over. Capital is only to serve our customer franchise. Nothing else. Let's talk now about liquidity. Here we have, two major targets, or three. One is to obviously strengthen our balance sheet structure and our liquidity structure, with the target substantially to reduce the short-term dependence on wholesale market. So the net interbank position will turn positive at the end of the plan, and this will be done mostly focusing on loans-deposit ratio. The loans-deposit ratio of the group will go down from 140, more or less, to 119. It's a big effort, but achievable. We see in the last 2-3 months that it works very well. Just to say, to give an example, in Italy, the last couple of months, with the focus we had on deposit, we have been able to increase more or less 5 billion euros. So, a lot of focus on loans-deposit ratio all across the group, in all divisions, in order to turn positive the interbank, the short-term interbank position. And the second target is to reduce the overall dependence on the wholesale market in two ways. One is using our four main treasury centers. This is really being a European bank. We have Poland, we have Italy, we have Germany and Austria. Once again, AAA countries are our four independent treasury centers. Through them, we can access all market needs, utilizing in the best way possible, as we do, this possibility. We will reduce significantly, once again, the short-term funding in the group, and most important, also on the medium-term long-term funding, we will have almost a zero need to go for unsecured. In the plan for Italy, there is zero euro of need of unsecured funding. Zero. Why? Because thanks to the beauty to be commercial bank, we are in the position to generate assets, mortgages, for example, that can be turned in cover bonds that can be placed in the market much more easy way than obviously a secure bond with a cost of funding much more cheap. So the capability to produce asset will allow us to access the market at cheaper rates. So again, loans and deposits, plus access to the funding market, plus capability to generate assets for cover bond will put us in a very comfortable position by the end of the plan, respecting all the liquidity requirements of Basel III. And in addition, we have still one of the lowest penetration of retail bonds to total financial assets in Italy and in Europe, only 8% in Italy, with the peers, some of them reaching over 20%, and in Europe 6%. So we have an additional channel in some way of liquidity that we can utilize should we have a need. It's not in our plan. We want to continue to be prudent here. We don't want to stress our customer base, but this is a fact. Our penetration in retail bonds, that is an instrument that go very well, so anytime we go to the market, they are sold in a few days. This is very low compared to other peers. Risk management. 2 seconds to brief and to drink something. Risk management. We don't have too many pages about risk management, only two. So probably we are innovative versus other banks. The target is to go down, to go from 123 basis points at the end of 2010 to 75 basis points at the end of the plan. So the typical question is this realistic? Is too ambitious? Is not enough aggressive? I don't know. I think it's realistic. So I prefer to sell something that we can deliver. We are sure that we can get this number. I have seen other banks coming with a slightly better number, but looking at the scenario in front of us today, I think that this is realistic. The results will come mostly from Italy and Central Eastern Europe, and it will be done leveraging on two major points. One is the origination process. The last at least 2 years, we have originated very good assets. If you see the bar in the first 9 months of this year, our average growth in terms of loans has been slightly negative, minus 0.2%. But for the first 3 best rating classes of customers, so 1, 2, and 3, 16% increase. So the new lending is going only substantially to the best classes of customers. And because we are one of the few banks, I can say so, without hesitation, they still do lending in Europe because we have liquidity. Let me say that this result comes also with good margins, so we can partially choose customer and business. In any case, origination is good, so the assets are good. We have redesigned, and this is the second point, all the restructuring and the workout process. So we have seen recently good results coming also on the recovery side. So the combination of origination and recovery, restructuring, will allow us to reach the target that I just showed in the previous slide, 75 basis point cost of risk at the end of 2015, without forgetting that we will leave non-core business, and typically when you leave non-strategic business, you reduce your cost of risk, because normally you are not so focused on non-strategic business and the risk is high. Let's talk now about the second pillar of our plan. If you remember, the first was balance sheet, so capital, funding, risk. Now, second one, simplification and cost management. As I said, one of the real challenges I had to face in this first year of CEO has been the addressing the complexity in terms of structure of this group. We were very complex. We had a very long decision-making process. So it's now months that we are working with the objective to make the group more efficient, with targets to increase productivity, targets to decrease the length of the decision-making process. I will show you a few examples of what has been done so far. But again, for me, the reaching a decent level of simplification is the way to keep costs under control forever and possibly to keep reducing costs. Just cost cutting is not enough, because if you don't take away the conditions to create costs, they come back. So simplification of the structure first, and then come cost containment. Let's start with the number. The cost trend will be, for the group as a whole, Western Europe, Central Eastern Europe, an increase of 0.5% CAGR, with an inflation of 2.6%. In Western Europe, we will have a decline of minus 0.8%, with an increase of 5.1% in Central Eastern Europe. So a big difference between the two blocks, let's say. With this, we will decrease the number of people by more than 6,000 people, but 7,300 in West Europe, and an increase of 1,100 in Central Eastern Europe. All of this will bring a reduction of 10% in our cost base, precisely 1.5 billion euros, divided between HR and non-HR costs. And if we look inside Western Europe, Italy is doing even more, and we will touch this point talking about Italy. Let's now have a look to the example of simplification. This is about central functions, holding, so here. What I can say is that by 2013, we will decrease by 22% the number of people in central functions, so 22% by 2013. With the ambition, by the way, not in the plan, to even try to go to 30% in 2015. In the plan, we have only 22% by the end of 2013. This regarding people, and again, you cannot reduce by 22% without changing the processes. Otherwise, the bank is collapsing. So running the bank with the same processes and 20% people less, it doesn't work. You have to change the processes, making them more lean, and then you can cut the people. So what we are doing today is reviewing processes and adjusting number of people. It's already ongoing. We are monitoring the results on a monthly basis, and we are on track with the target. On the other side, just to stay with a completely different example, is the reduction of physical space in the holding, again 300,000 square meters less, holdings meaning corporate centers, 300,000 square meters less is like 35 football pitches, so it's not again a small number. All of this, reduction in central function, number of people and space, will bring 2,800 people less, and more or less, as you see, more than 300 million of saving. The number that you see here, you can reconcile with the previous slide. Another couple of examples. Operations, so back offices, IT. Also in this case, already ongoing, approved. So we work a lot in the first phase of this year to come to this project. 16 companies, legal entities, doing back office activity are going to be merged in one company, approved already by our board. This again will bring a simplification, standardization and cost saving. On top, by the end of 2012, also Austria will run on EuroSIG, so it's our in-house IT system. This means that at the end of the day, with this plan implemented, 70% of our business, total business, will be run on one system by 2015. 70%. probably is more aggressive than me. 12. This for operation and IP. Then we have another area that we discovered we were not particularly good, was procurement. Here there is nothing special. What we have decided is to go for a full centralization in procurement. So you are a large group. In a very simple way, if you place orders bigger, you pay less. So it's not so simple, it's a complicated process as well, it's ongoing, but this, with this centralization of demand management and procurement, we will save 440 million of cost, and this is the lower range of the number, because in reality the number can be even higher, but we have put in a conservative way the lower range. So these two, again, projects, 1,400 people less, and more or less 600 million of saving. And let's change completely. Let's move now to the network. So we touch holding, we touch operation, network. In the major network that we have in the group, Germany is one, and Italy, we are moving in a direction that will combine quality of service and saving. Here, this is about Italy. I want to stress that even though we are talking about cost, this is an important business decision. So the habits and the needs of the customer are changing rapidly. At the end of 2008, in Italy, 70% of the transactions were done still in the physical branches. At the end of 2010, so 2 years later, only 30%. So what we decided to do from a business point of view was, one, to redesign completely our service model, focusing much more on multi-channel services. So call centers, ATMs, third, fourth generation, internet banking, where we are already the number one in Italy with 4 million active customers, and with a TRIM index, so customer satisfaction, 20 points higher than what we have in physical branches, 85 versus 60. So an important business decision that brings also redesigning of the network. Hub and spoke means main branches and the satellite branches, with a strong delegation of power. Again, for me, it's vital, the time of response to customers. Today, we are very strong in fighting against local banks because we are quick in giving reply. So we take away business because we are quick. In 4 days, average SMEs, we deliver answers. And we'll have also an effect on cost. Today, we have still 87% of our branches, so-called fully fledged, so they do everything, cash and non-cash. In 2015, we will have only 26% of these branches fully fledged. So the one will be cashless or cash light. This will bring in Italy 5,300 people less and almost 500 million less in terms of cost. 5,000 people is minus 12% of the total workforce of the Italian commercial banking. So it's a very aggressive target, but it will work and we'll have a better service than what we have today with less people. Business, finally. So as I said, only Central Eastern Europe and the corporate investment banking, because here we have some changes. Central Eastern Europe, we are leader. No doubt we will continue to be leaders. This is the target. But strategy different. So we have will be substantially much more selective in identifying where we want to invest. I will go straight here. We have identified, first of all, 4 countries, Russia, Poland, Turkey, Czech Republic, that for us are strategic, and these are the countries where we will invest in terms of capital and resources. So these are the countries where, looking at the potential of the country, our position, we feel in the position to grow. Then we have another number of core countries. where we have put on hold investments, even though they are strategic for us. Example, Bulgaria or Croatia or Hungary. So these countries are still considered strategic because the level of risk and potential is good, and our position is good, but less important than the previous one. Finally, a group of countries where we have criticalities. Maybe linked to the countries, maybe linked to the fact that our position is small. For these countries, we need to take, during the life of the plan, strategic decision from restructuring to eventually M&A. So very much focused strategy based on the potential of the countries, based on the positioning of the group. We have not put in the capital any M&A transaction. I'm against putting something that I cannot commit in terms of timing. So we are committed to simplify, we are committed to see if we can find opportunities, but whatever will come is an add-on to the capital position we have today, and consequently to the profitability and dividend policy of the group. But again, the big difference in Central Eastern Europe versus the past is no more an undifferentiated approach, but a very much focalized approach, together with a conservative view. I don't want to be, again, the position of 2009, when the dependence of the funding from outside for each of these countries was too high. So the loan deposit ratio has to be below 110, will be 107. This will guarantee growth, because more or less we will double profitability from now to the end of the plan in Central Eastern Europe, but growth sustainable and safe. So loans deposit ratio is one of the way we judge the potential of the countries, as I tried to explain before. Corporate investment banking, as I said, completely refocus on serving franchise. Then I think it doesn't make sense to have an investment bank that is doing or trying to do almost everything. You cannot compete with our scale against global houses. So the decision taken is clear. We will keep business like corporate banking, transaction services, is for corporate, for investment banking, structured finance, capital markets, investment products, and we will be much more active in serving customers, especially in Central Eastern Europe. But again, an investment banking completely focused on serving our client franchise, increasing the capability in terms of distribution. Today we originate a lot, but we are not able to distribute so much. So we have also a change in the professionality of some people. We will invest, for example, in senior bankers in this respect. But the shift is, again, from a kind of undifferentiated business to focalized business. New KPI in order to improve profitability per customers, adjusted per risk, with a particular focus on cross-selling. We have introduced a rule that no customer can continue with us unless he's giving to us at least 50% of revenues from non-lending business. It's a KPI that has been given to all relationship managers, all countries. We are not so far away, because Italy, I think, is around 40%, Austria 47%, Germany 43-44%, but we must improve. Cost reduction as well, strong focus, minus 8%, and risk-weighted asset optimization. As you can see, they will start with 185 billion of risk-weighted asset, despite of the fact that due to Basel III, we will have an increase of 25 billion, we will end up at 170 billion. So there is a reduction of risk-weighted asset without affecting in a negative way, at the end of the day, the profitability, thanks to cross-selling and better penetration of the customer base. At the end of the day, in terms of risk-weighted asset mix, we have declining from 45% to 37% for corporate investment banking. I think it's positive, also looking at the benefit in terms of multiples to the group. Last point, then we are really to the end, Italy. I know that Italy is in the heart of all of you, so what will happen to Italy? Italy has to be turned around, meaning has to go to a much different level of profitability. We were losing money last year. This year we are profitable, but the target is much more ambitious. A lot of actions ongoing. I will focus on three of them. One is the deposit side. So one of the targets that we have is to reduce the gap definitely between loans and deposit. Italy cannot be run with the gap we have today. So a lot of focus on deposit to reduce the existing gap. Deposit will grow significantly from 134 billion to 153 billion. It's a target that is not particularly aggressive in my opinion. Again, the results of this quarter shows that it can be done, and we are not the bank paying for sure the highest rate. So it's just a matter of focus. Doing lending, it helps a lot. We have increased lending in Italy this year almost 6%, and today you can really ask customers to have something back if you do lending. Plus, a strong attention on asset gathering. And here we have particularly Fineco, that is a really impressive, machine. Fineco is gaining more affluent customer than the old bank together. It's really a powerful machine to get new customers. Second point, cost. Cost. I don't want to repeat what you have seen already previously. We have a 1.4% CAGR 2010-15 in terms of reduction of cost, and in terms of number of people, minus 6,500 if we start from the beginning of the plan. If we start from today, minus 5,200 people. That means only in the Italian network, so this is not including holding. It means 12% reduction in terms of people. I don't think you can find another bank in Italy so aggressive as we are. From 45,300 people to 38,800 people. And it's achievable. I think it can be achieved using turnover, using pre-retirement offers. So I don't think we have a problem in this respect with unions. And cost of risk as well. It's an important target for Italy, down to 83 basis points. We end up slightly higher, more or less 10 bps higher than some of our peers. It came with their plan, by the way, some months ago. This target is achievable, so you don't have to repeat what I said already for the group. Italy plays an important role in this respect. Is achievable. Even more in Italy, the attention on the top class customer is evident. This year, 6% increase average, 30% increase the first three classes of customers. So in terms of origination, even more in Italy, we are really choosing the customer we want to deal with. So in this case, again, thanks to an excellent origination and improving our process of restructuring, say the number is guaranteed. With this, I have finished my presentation. I would say that, in our opinion, this plan is a very realistic plan, conservative. As I said, some upside is included, such as no M&A transaction. So contrary to other banks, we prefer to be clear. We commit to try, but we will put the results inside our results once the transaction is done. We have a list of things to be done, but nothing is in this plan. It's a plan built up bottom up, but not so comfortable to have top down plans. Bottom up, it means that all key people in this group are committed, all of them, together with me, together with us, believes that this plan is achievable. Already today, we have many people on ground explaining, branch by branch, what the plan is and what we have to do. So there is a strong commitment. It's an ambitious plan, in my opinion. It put us in the top ranking in Europe. And at the end of the plan, we will reach this target to be, once again, a rock-solid European commercial bank, a bank with a strong capital and even stronger liquidity position, with a conservative risk profile, a bank with a very lean and efficient structure, and a bank that can guarantee stable and sustainable level of profitability. So thank you very much. Now we take a few minutes rest and we start the Q&A session. Thank you. And for the Q&A, I think that my colleagues will join me to the table so we can properly answer. As I said, the first half, more or less 40 minutes for you, and then we will give space also to those of you that are connected via web. Good. We need the volunteer just to start.
Sorry, before we open the Q&A session, please note that we are unfortunately restricted by publicity rules and we cannot disclose more than the figures you have in the presentation. So I apologize, but we are in the capital phase for this.
Good afternoon, Matteo Ramenghi from UBS, and I have three questions. First of all, bold moves today. I think it is clear what you're doing. You're putting capital off the debate, off the table, and what you're doing today, which is to move to fully loaded Basel III immediately, reminds me of what a large competitor of yours did in Italy already. And I was wondering, how do you see your European competitors, many of which are, you know, claiming they will muddle through and manage the impact of Basel III through to 2019? It doesn't seem to be consistent with the move you are announcing today. Secondly, on liability management, given the capital structure you have from today onwards, will you have opportunities through regulatory calls or offers or others to manage your hybrid or subordinated capital more aggressively and enhance your net interest income? And finally, there were some details in terms of cost cutting in Italy and the headcount reduction. I was wondering if you could share the same figures also for the German network. Thank you.
Yeah. Where are you? Sorry. Cannot be. Okay. I was looking up, but there was. No, in terms of European competitors or Italian competitors, you know, we decided to go in this direction looking at our situation. So, overall, because of the macroeconomic conditions that are not easy at all, because of the request of regulators, officials like EBA or global systemic banks, pressure from governments to be sometime in the future closer to 10% rather than 9%. So at the end we decided to go for the right issue that in our opinion is the last and brings us there immediately after the right issue will be executed. I think that also the length of the process in Italy, again almost 3 months, is another way, reason why we decided to go fast in this direction, because it may be that the market can be a bit more crowded next spring, so better to be the first rather than the second or the third. It's obvious that the volatility of the market is there, but looking the consortium, looking overall the way we have discussed with our shareholders, we are confident it can be done. Opportunity to manage hybrid is something we can discuss.
I'm asking the CFO. We are always active in doing it, and we'll reassess time by time in the future if opportunities will arise, but not in 20.
So intention is here, but we cannot go too much in details. And about cost cutting in Germany, they for sure in Western Europe, Italy is the one coming with the most aggressive target. Also the size holding plus networks require something like this. For Germany, maybe Roberto can give you more precise numbers.
Just like as you saw, we have a project in Italy, which is the hub and spoke, that aims to redesign the multi-channel offering we're giving to retail customers. We also devised a project with some similarities in Germany that aims to accelerate and enhance quite a lot the degree of multi-channel offering for our German customers. This will also, in Germany, entail a possible reduction of a few hundred full-time equivalent. Now we have an estimate of around 400 full-time equivalent within the time frame of the plan, which has is a bit lower in terms of percentage than the one we have in Italy, but you have to bear in mind that obviously we talk about a clearly significantly smaller network. Such project will leverage on the fact that we have already quite a strong position in terms of recognition of the quality of our advisory, especially in the affluent service, as well as on the fact that eventually with the end of 2011, we have, 10, we have completely migrated also Germany onto Eurosig. It means that today we have the possibility to effectively invest on the same group IT platform for developing a completely new business model for the old retail Germany. As you can imagine, thanks to this plan, we forecast very sizable positive AVA creation by the Germany Family and SME Network.
Maybe a few words on corporate center in Germany. We are forecasting really the size of the corporate center in Germany is much lower than what we have in Italy. So, but by the way, we have the TOR project, that the streamlining of the headquarter function. This is also impacting Germany. We have a projection in terms of CAGR is minus in Germany in the 2015, but also in the 2013 perspective. And on top of that, apart from what we said before about the network, also, in the, generally speaking, in the big headquarters that we have, still we have, in Germany, we have quite aggressive project also in real estate. In our plan, we have a quite aggressive plan for Munich. Today, there was a discussion in the board about our big building in Munich that, as you maybe already noticed on the newspaper, is for sale. Today, we approved the sale of our headquarters in Munich, that is quite sizable. On the newspaper, I read that it's 120 million, the overall amount of money that we should collect with this building. On top of that, we have already a plan for Hamburg, Frankfurt, Nuremberg, so in the real estate we will have additional saving apart the headquarter reduction in Germany.
Good. Yes.
Good afternoon, Domenico Vinci from Goldman Sachs. Three questions, if I may. First, on the cost target, you suggested in the presentation that the reduction of headcount in Italy is going to be more or less 12% of the network of the group in Italy. And then if I look at the cost number, it seems that the cost overall, the cumulative reduction is going to be 4-5% in the next 3 years. So it seems that there is a disconnection between the staff reduction and the cost reduction. I wonder if you can tell us what are the structural elements of that. I understand that there is a wage inflation, but at the same time, I'm assuming that people leaving the group will be on a higher than average cost level. Second point on provision targets in Italy, still above 100 basis points. So compared to the peers running on 80 basis points, there is a gap. Do you expect the others to catch up with your level, or there is still time needed for UniCredit to translate the lower risk profile of the loan book into lower provision going forward? And then last point on CE, it seems very clear from your presentation you focus on four main countries. Not very clear to me from the presentation what do you think about the others. It's fair to assume that for some of them, if the market condition would allow in the future, you will consider disposal. And sorry, last point on the results. You had a big spike in CIB in Italy in provision this quarter. What kind of reassurance can you give investors that the cleanup there is kind of over and we're seeing more normalized level in the next quarter? Thank you.
Starting from the last, the spike in provision, let's say it's clear that we had a very cautious approach this quarter on provision. The spike is significant, is from 1.1 billion second quarter to 1.850 the third quarter. I think that with the following quarters we'll go down to a normalized level. I think that is very important looking forward to be selective on what we do. We have a group of countries where we will invest and where we will continue to have a leading position. As I said, an example is Poland from one side, so in the famous four, but we have also countries like Bulgaria where we are the number one bank, and these countries remain strategic in our portfolio, even though in this moment we don't have significant investments ongoing. Then, as I said, we have a group of countries. I cannot give you the names because the potential, even M&A deal can take long time, so I don't want to dislocate anybody, but we have for sure a group of countries, and it's quite easy to identify them where we need, as I said, a strategic decision, including the possibility of M&A. We are committed to invest in some, and we know what we have to do in other countries, so the strategy is clear. It's not fully disclosed, but it's clear, and we'll move consistently with this strategy in the next few years. And the market will give the timing, let's say, this way. Terms provisions for Italy, yes, we are higher than peers, you're right, more or less 20-25 basis points. As I said, the target for Italy is 83. If you compare this 83 to some plan we have seen for other Italian banks, let's say May, June this year, we are still higher, more or less 10 basis points. Now question is if this number, our number is more realistic or not compared to others in view of the current macroeconomic scenario. But just looking at the number, for sure we have not, I would say we have not completely closed the gap. Even though I think that looking Italy in this period of time, 83 could be a good target. Then it's obvious that if we can do better, why not? But better to be, once again, conservative. Then for cost, so I think that we have the numbers here. In any case, it's true that it's minus 12% network in Italy. And in terms of cost of HR,
we actually apply the wage drift, that is the one available based on what is the current contract. As you know, the contract is now under negotiation. As a result, obviously, based on the outcome of the negotiation that is made at national level, that might have an implication. So we stayed a little bit on the conservative side in a way. Clearly, it depends on the outcome of the negotiation. At banking association level, ABI level.
In any case, most of it is due to salary drift, I would say, rather than. So the number of people is minus 12. And just to give you an idea in terms of severances that we will book this year for the whole group is 560 million euros this year.
Good afternoon, Matteo Ghilotti, Equita. I have three questions. The first one is on the target for revenues in 2013, because 2011 is almost finished. So if we consider your target for 2013, you are assuming on average a 4-5% growth in total income in the next 2 years, if I'm not wrong. Which, from my point of view, seems a bit optimistic if we consider that 2012 is going to be a tough year for revenues. So I assume that the 2012 growth will be very sluggish. So if you can
comment. In terms of revenues, in reality, I think we are quite conservative because group level, so Western Europe, CEE, 2013 is plus 1.9%. And if we look, Western Europe is 0.1, so flat. This 7% CEE. So the growth comes mostly from Central Eastern Europe, but Western Europe is flat. The results come mostly from cost and cost of risk declining. But in terms of revenues, I think we have we have decided to be conservative. Also, if we go further, 2015, the overall growth for Western Europe, average CAGR, is 1.6%.
Okay, and I have two other questions, sorry. The second question is on the third quarter results, where both net interest income and fees were better than I expected. So my question is if there is any one-off positive in these two lines, or if it's all, let's say, ordinary business. And the final question on the dividend payout, I've seen your target for the payout. I wonder if we can assume that you will be back to dividend already in 2012, so next year, and if you have considered the possibility to pay an interim dividend November 2012, just to
anticipate
the cash flow for your shareholders or not.
Thank you. Regarding fees and interest rate, I was not happy. So if you are happy, it's good. So I was expecting a bit more in terms of net interest income. But by the way, joking aside, there is no one-off. Fees are down more or less 100 million versus previous quarter is due to the typical seasonality of the third quarter, so August. And net interest income is also affected by the investment banking trend that is affecting net interest income in negative and trading. On the dividend side, no dividend this year. Dividend, yes, in 2012, 13, 14, 15, and we don't see anything in between.
Okay.
Maybe what we can say is that in terms of total spread for net interest margin in Italy, we saw for the first time in Q3 2011 some increase. After that, it was actually, we can say, 6 quarters where the total customer spread, say lending rates minus deposit rates, was in the range of 3.15%. In this quarter, the total customer spread has gone up by 15 basis points.
Yes, good afternoon, Luigi Tramontana from Banca Akros. Just one question on my side. You've chosen to give no details regarding the evolution of volumes and margins. As far as I understand, there will be no volume growth in the coming years, at least some deleveraging in Western Europe to finance growth in CE. So what is your view on the evolution of the margins, given that the repricing is underway, at least in the Italian market? How do you see the margins evolving and differentiated between your divisions, so between families and SMEs on one side, AB on the other, and CE finance? Thank you.
Well, in terms of volumes, yes, again, you have to separate West, East. In Western Europe, volumes will not grow too much, substantially zero, is correct? Zero point.
Western Europe, the loans will be almost
flat, yes. Yes, we will have volumes flat substantially. We will have still a good growth in Central Eastern Europe. In terms of margins, for Italy, the real issue is to adjust yourself rapidly to the new market condition, because in terms of cost of funding, we have seen a very rapid move in 2-3 months, and it starts to come back, Roberto said, we were at 3.15 overall end of June, it's 3.30 end of September, so we start to again move up. In general, I'm expecting that margins will be overall under pressure, but if you have focus, if you have liquidity and you can afford intelligent lending, in this market situation, in my opinion, you can get good cross-selling. This is what we see in some markets, especially here in Italy. I think that we know that in Italy the liquidity situation is not so bad, but in any case a bit critical, and again, if you have a possibility to be active on the lending side, there is a good return from customers. I think that you have to see the return overall, not just margins in this particular moment of the market. In case with Euro LIBOR going down, it's clear that margins will be under pressure, because when you have rates going up, it's easier. With the last trend decided by the Central Bank of Europe to reduce Euribor, we can expect some pressure again on margins. But it's a market very strange. If you have certain tools, you can get good business. If not, it's a problem.
So it might be worth to note that on the volume side, the deposit will go up in both regions, Western Europe and Central Eastern Europe, with the aim, as already pointed out before, to close the gap between lending and deposits, and to try to shrink as much as we can our loan-to-deposit ratio, and to achieve the level of 120% of the time.
Good afternoon, Pierluigi Passarone, Intermonte. I have two questions. The first one is on capital. At the end, you came up with the rights issue, which is at the top of the range, which is even higher than what the EBA suggested a couple of weeks ago. So my question is, are you already building some buffer in order to potentially pay some legal settlement, which we read on the newspaper in the last 2 weeks, or as also the press is suggesting, you are already positioning yourself for a potential M&A, a potential consolidation phase in the domestic market in 2012. Press is suggesting that some weaker Italian banks may not raise the needed capital, so you may intervene. Second question is on spread. If I'm not wrong, Mr. Ghizzoni, you said a couple of weeks ago that with the current spread environment, it's almost impossible to think of a functioning business looking forward. So my question is, what's the level for the spread for having business actually functioning? Second, what is embedded in your business model?
Starting from the second point, the question I got at that time, 2 or 3 weeks ago, was about the level of spread in Italy. I was saying that it's not a matter of spread applied to banks. The point is that if it will consolidate on a medium-term basis, this spread, so an Italian company has to ask money at 400, 500, with a German company inside the same group, so UniCredit is taking money, I don't know, 150 basis points. In a long run, this will pose a problem in Europe, not only in Italy, because the euro will be definitely under pressure. So huge difference in terms of spread with the same currency, in a long term they create imbalances. This was my point. So I hope that spread will not go for sure at the level pre-crisis. For sure, it will take quite long time to get Italian spread aligned with German spreads. But this level cannot be sustainable. This was my point. Regarding the request, regarding the size of the right issue, well, definitely is not connected to any legal settlement. I'm excluding this point. What we think is necessary in this moment in order to have any more surprise from the regulatory point of view. So we have put ourselves by far above the level requested by regulators, I mean CFIS, I mean EBA, I mean single regulators in single countries. Keep in mind also that in Europe each regulator is moving his own way, and we think is important also for the business point of view. For sure it's giving us some flexibility for deciding our strategy, but it's better to be focus and not dream too much. What I want to see is a strict discipline in managing the capital, irrespective of the size. So strict discipline in managing the capital, because whatever it is, this is a scenario where capital will continue to be in some way scarce. So we have to use this capital with a strong sense of discipline, trying to get the best from each single euro of capital. Anyway, once it's done, it puts us for sure in a better condition versus today.
If I can follow up, I don't even know if this question has really sense, but it's possible to quantify what kind of spread did you embed in this business plan, and to conclude, if you can recall to which extent you can make some funding in Austrian, German market to fund Italian operations. Thank you.
The funding, so we use intensively Austria, Germany for funding. First of all, to serve Austria, domestic market, and its interest in Europe, and Germany, first of all, the domestic market. The funding infragroup, at the end of the day, is very limited, because the direct funding is a few billions, so it's not too much compared to the size of the group. And in any case, when you do funding from Germany to Italy, you charge the country spread. So it's a good at the consolidated level, because you get funding in Germany as a AAA country, so much cheaper than Italy. But for the Italian legal entity, it doesn't make any difference, because we cannot transfer fund below the level of the country risk. It's like to transfer profit from one country to the other one, and is forbidden by the fiscal authority. So for us it's important to have access to funding from different sources in order to serve, first of all, the local operations. Then there is some funding infragroup, but overall is quite limited. In any case, we have to keep thinking from now on, being a systemic bank, thinking in terms of ring fencing, meaning the regulators are thinking in terms of ring fence their own countries. And if you want to be a European group, you have to accept this logic. So the first target is to have this treasury center self-sufficient. Then if you have space for some infragroup, better, but first of all self-sufficient. And this is a great advantage for us in this moment, having this geographical diversification. Imagine what would be if the holding would have to finance the rest of Europe. Would be a big problem, also from a regulatory point of view. So in this respect, we are okay. Then in terms of margins...
The comment to be added is that the beauty of being an European player with several windows able to access the short-term and long-term funding allow us to keep the spread under control in these markets, and on average, it was the one saying that there is no need to disclose additional information, but the fact that we can enjoy, for the sake of argument, 70 or 50 basis points on average on the next 5 years in some countries like Germany and Austria, as overall cost of funding, wholesale funding, is something that it's worth to mention, that can give us a great advantage versus other players who don't have the advantage to have Germany and Austria, and the opportunity to use assets and to issue covered bonds, so from Britain, which show a very low cost of funding. Italy is running a different pace, but let's say the nice thing is that we have these two platforms which are helping in taking low the level of average cost of funding.
I don't know when it's time to connect your colleagues via web. You have to tell me.
Please.
That's Ronnie Wren from KBW here. Also, a few questions. Let me find them. First, to the capital level, you said you position yourself already for like the new regulatory world. How should I read this? Is a 9% sort of Basel III Core Tier 1 for 2012 sufficient already in a G-SIFI world, or is it the 10% or 10% and above that you target for 2015? That would be the first question.
Yeah, for this question, officially we don't have any communication except the fact that we are global SIFI. We are expecting to be in the lower range, so 8.850. In any case, whatever it is, if we look the regulation only, we forget the market, SIFI will kick in starting from 2016, I think. So at that time we will be by far over 10%, so no problem versus this issue.
But that assume 10% is maybe more than...
No, 10% is not connected so much to the SIFI regulation itself, because again, I'm sure we will be much lower. Requested to be below this level is, in my opinion, a realistic capital level looking at the overall environment that we have in Europe. So, regulation or not, I'm expecting that the bank as UniCredit will be appreciated by regulators, not requested, but appreciated if we stay around this level. And okay, the market the same.
Okay. Secondly, also on capital, the last time you raised money, most of it actually went to Vienna. The 7.5 you raised this time around, is this all going to stay in Italy, or are you going to use some of this to fund growth elsewhere?
No, Vienna, so to say, we stay in Italy, so we don't have plan to increase capital in other countries, also because Vienna, I think, is around about 15%, over 15% core tier 1. Germany, 17. Then I can continue with the list. Poland, 18. Croatia, 19. So the real weakness is in Italy, and this, by the way, is a problem of all European group, because with the fact that there is this kind of ring-fencing approach, holdings are requested to support subsidiaries. Subsidiaries cannot support holdings. So we have different, many European groups, more or less, in the same situation. So in this case, is addressed to, we stay in Italy, we stay in the holding, and we will have a reinforcement of the Italian, let's say, geography versus capital. But because we don't need capital, we have excess of capital outside Italy, is the point.
Clear. On the rate hikes you assume in your business plan, 2% average Euribor 2013-15, what's the sensitivity in terms of profits if this was not to happen, if we were to stay at, say, 1.3 that you have for this year and next year?
I'm not sure.
The Euribor assumption. You have
1.3 Euribor?
Euribor.
Yeah. No, the Euribor is the first 2 years, 1.3, if I remember, from our presentation. And then we go 13, exactly, to around 2%. Yes, we run internal sensitivity, clearly. One of the way to monitor the plan is to have KPI that have to be properly monitored. What we have seen, unfortunately, in the last months is that not all the time movements in terms of rates are reflecting the real cost of funding. In any case, let's say what we were assuming in the past, 100 basis points were more or less 300 million.
Yes, so there is a negative impact of 300 million this year, so for 2011, until the figures I'm referring to are the actual figures, while for 100 basis point movement upwards, we have a positive effect of almost 200 million. But these two figures cannot be used for the projection in the future, because we are changing the duration of our balance sheet, so we are aiming to have a more balanced structure, and by changing the duration, we are going also to change the impact of Euribor movement. The level of Euribor embedded are already reflecting the most recent cut performed by the new government, by ECB. So I think that already are taking into account this low level at some point.
Yes, for some time I think that the level of Euribor will not be too much. It will be important, but to some extent, because it's the sovereign risk that is, at the end of the day, impacting on the cost of funding. So we have different situations in different countries. Germany, for us, is the cheapest one. Austria is 30 basis points higher than Germany. Poland, a bit more. Italy, much more. So until we will have this situation of tension, the sovereign rate will not play that much in the P&L. It's the capability to adjust yourself country by country and try to get the best cost of funding country by country. Again, in our case, it's good that we have this sort of blended cost using for a treasury center. They are writing here that I have to move to question.
To those who are connected.
Yeah, well.
The first question is from Mr. Marcello Zanardo of Bernstein. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to all of you. Some question from me as well. Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I had a terrible echo on the line. Just started from a few questions from me on Italy. Can you give me some details? Maybe they're in the presentation, I didn't see them. You gave in the last presentation the profitability of the Italian commercial business, minus 233 million in the second half and 568 million in the first half. could you give us what this number was in the 9 months, because I couldn't find it? And second, I mean, you gave in the past in June the breakdown of the gross impaired loans by country. By Italy was 46.3 billion total impaired loans, and I don't see this figure in September, so it would be very useful. And the question I have on Italy is the following. You are given some targets. Can you give us the target in terms of return on tangible equity, i.e. by 2015? Do you plan to achieve a cost of equity in Italy as well in terms of this or not? And on your plan, on the buffers, there seems to be a lot of hoping that provisions will get still higher versus peer, but to 83 basis points. What are other buffers in the plan, and what if in a very likely recession where we don't know the at the moment the debt, provisions will remain high? Because I'm looking at your provisions both at the group level and at the different divisional level, and this time I see from your presentations Italy is still 196 basis points up from 141. I'm on page 14, and that comes mainly from the CIB. You also have impaired loans coming from Germany, so I'm just wondering, we are already in a positive GDP territory at the moment, but next year, not only in Italy, but even Germany and other countries, if GDP goes down, what's going to happen to cost of risk? I do understand you have a buffer versus peers, but that's why I'm asking details where we are to get today in this division. And then the management, are you going to change, or have you changed any incentive, or how management, not only top management but also middle management, how this is paid and in the intermediate phases of the business plan? If yes, could you give us some details? And the final question is on Italy. There was a question of a colleague before. I really struggle to understand why, with a 12% staff reduction cost in it, and all the work you are doing on the branches, costs go only down by 1.4%, with volumes remaining pretty much flat. I mean, we saw Monte Paschi, which was short of capital, had improved results, did a significant cost cutting. We are seeing Tesa doing significant cost cutting in the past. So what am I missing? Why is UniCredit unable to cut costs more at the P&L level in Italy? Just some light from you, because I don't really understand it. Thank you so much.
Starting from the last point, cost cutting, I think that our numbers are more aggressive than some other Italian peers in terms of cost and in terms of HR. We are declining. Italian commercial business is minus 1.4% CAGR, Intesa minus 0.3%, Monte Paschi 0.7%, UBI plus 0.4%, Banco Popolare 0.4%. This is what they communicated to the market. So we are much more aggressive, and again, in terms of number of people, declining 12% is a number that you don't find in other banks. So we are the only one double digit, let's say.
So sorry to interrupt you here.
You ask me in terms of buffer, I think that let's see how it moves, but we are thinking also other simplification in the Italian setup that maybe will give us possibility to further improve these numbers. Possibilities under analysis are more than one, but again, I don't want to sell something that until I'm sure it can be achieved. In the meantime, I think we are quite aggressive. On profitability, maybe I will leave Roberto to make a comment. For cost of risk, impairment loans, etc., let me say 83 basis point is I have said I keep saying is a realistic target. Just to have a comparison, up to 2008 we had in the group almost 50% less in any case in terms of cost of risk. So is a number. It seems aggressive, but in my opinion, is not. And for Italy, is achievable. It's true that we have today a very high negative perception due to the sovereign risk. It's also true that this may impact on the real economy. Expectation in terms of GDP is negative. But at the same time of the coin, the Italian corporate has never been so good as this year. So, same is the European corporate in general. So there is still some difference between real economy and, let's say, sovereign risk. We will see, as I said, a deterioration in the numbers. We will see deterioration for sure on the GDP growth. But believe me, when you talk to customers directly, it's not so bad yet as it seems to be. So for this reason, having the capability to choose, as we presented in the plan, a good customer, working with selective customer, focusing on the best rating class, will help to reach targets, even though we'll have a volatile market. And by the way, once again, in our macro, Italy is expected to grow in negative in 2012, and flat, basically zero in 2013. So we are already conservative. Then you ask about impaired loans. Impaired loans are, not remember exactly the number, still slightly growing in Italy. What is good for Italy is the reverse ratio, meaning the inflow and outflow are improving quarter after quarter. Just to give you an idea, in the second, at the end of 2009, we were at 2.6 billion net flows, 47% reverse ratio, keeps going down consistently to where today we have 600 million and 80%, precisely 79% reverse ratio. So overall, we are moving in the right direction, and again, it's now 1, 2, 3, 7 quarters in a row that goes it goes there. So there is a slight but continuous improvement in terms of cost of risk. Incentives, let's say incentives, all they will be changed some KPI rather than the system. The system is the one agreed with the regulators, so there is no more, let's say, freedom in some respect on the banking sector. We have agreed a system of compensation, fix and bonus with regulators, is in line with FSB rules, approved and validated by Bank of Italy. We can change some KPI, for example, in the side of investment banking, corporate investment banking, there is this strong attention on revenues minus LLP on risk-weighted asset. So focus on generation of business, but also quality of business. It is quite new. So some KPI that will bring a good balance between revenue generation and risk will be introduced, but the system cannot be too much flexible, is what is agreed with regulators.
Okay.
Maybe Roberto on profitability.
Yeah, in a context of flattish RWA in Italy, we are expecting a double-digit return on tangible equity.
Okay, so in close to 11%, 12%. Okay,
the profitability of Italy without disclosing number will improve substantially. We cannot reach 12% return on tangible equity for the group if Italy, that is 40% of the group, is not getting close at least to this number.
Okay. Just a clarification on costs, sorry. What you said is correct, but it's a static analysis. What I wanted to understand, because I don't, it's mainly to understand, is other peers, especially the one that I nominated. When they had to cut costs, they managed to cut costs between 2 and 3%, even 4% down per year for 2 or 3 years. So I'm trying to understand are there any IT cost or franchise cost that you have deferred in time and now they are taking? And they are rebalanced by staff reduction. Is that why cost only go down by 1.5%?
We expect non-HR cost to go down more than what HR costs do. As I explained before, however, we took a conservative stance in terms of average salary drift per year, waiting for, and that's expected by the end of the year, which is the finalization of the national contract. As you know, with the previous contract, typically banks had an increase in the yearly salary drift of over, or in the range of 1% over inflation. Now, once the new contract will be disclosed, that will allow us, in the case, also to change the target. But in this moment, we did not want to put better numbers, given that the negotiation is completely open.
On top of that, we have to take consideration that we have also a CE in which the cost expectation is slightly different, in which we have higher inflation. Mm-hmm. And still, we are projecting some investment in CE, also in terms of network, that we are considering, by the way, as something that we will double-check if we'll confirm or not. So we have two dynamics in the group, staff reduction in West countries, and some growth with attention to some investment for the CE countries.
In any case, if already you look at this quarter, the one that we have just closed, is in line with already some of our expectations. The non-HR costs this quarter are going down 4.4%. And if I look at Italy, the first 2 years, so 12-13, cost will decrease more than 2% with HR cost minus 0.5 because of what Roberto explained, and minus 4.4% non-HR cost. On top, contrary to some peers, let me say, we are investing. So we have 1.2 billion euros of investments, or 1.3 in the plan.
Okay.
So I don't want to cut completely investment, otherwise in 5 years we will be in trouble. So we have effective cost, especially non-HR, going down quite a lot, but we are still investing in order to develop our business and our franchise. And this is the only way to be competitive looking forward.
And the last question, can you give us any update on the Libyans? Are you, what's happening there? If you can.
Legal? Libya?
Libya, yes, Libyan investors.
Libya
are they going to, what are they doing?
It's not in our control, meaning... what is the situation today is that shares and deposits with us, but everywhere in Europe, are still frozen. So Libya cannot access shares and their asset in general. Looking us to us and the increase of capital, today they would not be in the position to do it because frozen, because the shares are frozen. I know they are in discussion with the European institutions and also with the Italian government to address this topic. I think their final interest probably is to stay in the group. This has been also publicly disclosed some time ago when European governments committed to support Libya. But we must wait for the decision that are not in our control, meaning is the European government that to decide.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kindly ask only one question each.
The final question is from Anke Rengen of RBC. Please go ahead, madam.
It's Anke here from RBC. Good afternoon. I had one question, or it relates to the slide 16, yeah, 85 basis points impact from Basel III. I just wanted to confirm it doesn't include any mitigation, and I just wondered, is this valued as of end of September, i.e. your Italian government bond holdings? And then I was wondering if you could give us a split between risk-weighted assets inflation versus equity deduction. And then, sorry if I didn't see it anywhere, have you given an updated number for Italian sovereign government bonds? Thanks a lot.
Government bonds, say Eurozone, we have 53 billion in total. The large amount is German bonds, if we look the banking book, and then Italian bonds. Italian bonds, that I think your question is addressing Italian bonds, we have in total 40 billion euros, 4-0, half approximately trading books, so ready to market, half banking book. The maturity of these bonds is by far below 12 months, so the price of the portfolio is quite close to 100, I think it's 96, 97. We have been in this policy to keep the length, to get the maturity short, and again, for the average is below 12 months. This for the Italian bonds. Greeks, we had 400 million, Spain, 2 billion. Greece, we have done another impairment, so we have impaired in total 57% of the 400 million. Regarding mitigation actions,
I can quickly comment on the mitigation actions. Within the portfolio of runoff assets, we're including 20 billion of assets, 20 billion of risk-weighted assets, which are under the market activities and which are going to run off. Part of that is part of Basel III risk mitigation and risk-weighted asset mitigation. By 2015, we have a risk-weighted asset for the CHSR, which will be well below the level of 2011. So around 190 billion euros, when we will be at the end of 2011, including Basel 2 and half, at 210 billion euros.
Yes.
So we are not only reducing on the credit side, but also taking action on the market side in order to mitigate Basel 2.
Did we reply to all your questions? I think so.
Yeah, sorry, there was couldn't hardly hear the answer, but did the 85 basis points then include mitigation or not?
Mitigation action and action we are carried out for the purpose of our common equity tier one. We have room for improvement. As already pointed out by Jean-Pierre, we might have we can do something more on risk-weighted assets. We might have additional opportunity in terms of disposal or acceleration of runoff, but there are upside. The upside are not included, I would say, are really upside versus the figures we have reported.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think we have time for a final question.
The final question is from Giovanni Carriere of Autonomous. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good evening, everybody. I'll be very brief. Regarding your decision to split or at least to ring-fence 48 billion of risk-weighted assets, are you going to report profitability on an underlying basis, or in any case, could you please give us an indication as to what your profitability on an underlying basis would be without these risk-weighted assets? Because I thought that the point of creating a quote-unquote bad bank, obviously it's not a bad bank, but the separate division is to crystallize your underlying profitability, because otherwise it is quite hard to build an investment case based on you not making a cost of capital for several years, it looks like.
Um, I'm not sure my mic works, actually. So.
That's
okay. Yeah, it works. Okay. Just on the runoff portfolio, the runoff portfolio is going to stay within the CIB division. So it will be ring-fenced within the CIB division so that we can follow the evolution of the assets. But we're not going to create a runoff bank. I mean, once again, as Federico mentioned, these assets are performing assets, so it's not a bad bank. It's a runoff bank, per se. But we will, from a managerial point of view, follow the evolution of these assets and report them regularly during our quarterly results. In terms of impact on the revenues, clearly when the asset run off, I mean the reported assets will not be renewed, basically will be decreased, and the revenue to reported assets on this portfolio is between 1.5% to 2.5%, depending on the nature of the asset. So if you take the average runoff, you can calculate what could be the impact in terms of the profitability for the business. On the financing side, maybe it will reduce the net interest income because we will have less risk-weighted assets that we could manage. On the market side, the impact will be more mitigated, because part of the reduction is linked to Basel III, to the Basel III jump, but the reduction will impact much less the market activities revenues.
Okay, so the impact on revenues is clear, 1.5% to 2.5% of risk-weighted assets. Are there any costs or provisions attached? In other words, are you actually right now losing or making money on this portfolio?
Portfolio of performing assets, so we are making money in terms of net revenues on the assets, but the 1.5% to 2.5% revenue to risk-weighted assets is clearly below the cost of capital, and the decision to run off this portfolio because we think that we could reduce our capital in better activities.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I think we reached 6 o'clock, so we have to finish here. Clearly, we will be happy to reply to all your questions via mail, etc. Thanks a lot, and see you soon. Have a nice evening.